the likely wounded. The shooting had virtually stopped. Hun put a last merciful bullet through the head of a woman she found hideously burned, crawling along a narrow alley, blinded, hairless, her scorched skin peeling off and trailing behind her like grotesque rags of vanished finery. The bodies of the Warwegs dead were already being buried in a shallow draw, 100 yards outside the adobe perimeter wall. The trader scouts reported a number of Indians standing patiently in the darkness of the desert, waiting for them to depart and allow them to reclaim their own. Nobody had found the corpse of Sharona Carson, and it was assumed that she'd either managed to make an escape during the confusion of the raid, or, more likely, was a burned and unidentified body in one of the ruined buildings. Alone, Ryan wandered along the one flank of the ville, past the church where Ferryman's corpse still rested, looking back at the huddled mass of women and children who stood with their few possessions, watched by a couple of guards. The trader had grudgingly agreed that the Wags would escort them a few miles north, over the high bridge, to keep them from the vengeance of the Apaches. But then they'd be on their own, and there was a lot of wilderness to cover before the next fill. The War Wags didn't carry passengers. Smoke swirled around Ryan, making his eye water. He stopped near the entrance to the Baron's two-wheel wag store. If he hadn't been standing right by the open door, he'd never have heard it. Ruger in hand, Ryan eased himself around the open door, trying to see who'd made the noise. The building had obviously once been an old stable for horses, years before Skydark, and some of the partitions remained. The 350 Twin Norton stood in the nearest stall on its rest.
Come out! You won't get hurt!
Knew you had a sense of humor, lover.
He couldn't see her, but he guessed she was hiding in the second or third compartment down.
Come out, Sharona.
Turn around and walk away from me.
Why should I?
Got an 8-inch barrel on a 38 Colt Python that says it's a good idea.
Yeah, 6 good ideas.
Ryan strained his eyes to try and see her.
Alias is dead, you bastard. Could have been him who started the fire. If he couldn't take it with him, then I guess Alias didn't want anyone else to have it.
Come out and join the other women. Trader will see you all safe across the bridge.
Sure. Full of tricks like that, lover. Rather suck on the barrel of this friendly old colt. No thanks. I'll tell you how it is, Ryan.
How is it, Sharona?
I get on that Norton hog and take my chances outside.
I'll stop you.
Then I'll shoot you down, lover. Sure, I'll grieve about it, but I'm not going to give in. Not my way.
Be sorry to chill you.
Behind her, the flames were hungrily devouring the roof, racing toward her hiding place.
I could put 6 clean through your guts right now, Ryan.
The one-eyed man was uncomfortably aware that the woman was probably telling the truth. Silhouetted against the open doorway, at less than a dozen paces, he'd be hard to miss.
Better do it. Pull down on the trigger. I'm not moving.
Suddenly, Sharona stood before him, dressed only in jeans and a parka. Her hair was tied back in a ponytail, and she wore no makeup, looking more beautiful than Ryan would have believed possible.
I mean it, Ryan. I'm going to live. Not just for me, for...
For what?
For reasons. Real special reasons.
That doesn't affect me.
That's where you're wrong, Ryan. Real wrong.
I still gotta stop you.
Why?
Man gives his word to his partner.
Macho shit.
Maybe.
I'm going. Easy or hard, I'm getting out of here.
Ryan half lifted the Ruger, then lowered it again and slid the pistol back into its holster. Sharona Carson smiled, holstered her own gun, and stepped in close. She kissed him once, very lightly, on the cheek.
Thanks, lover. I won't forget it. I won't forget you. Take care now. See you again one day.
There was a burst of sparks at the end wall fell, bringing down a sizable part of the roof. The woman swung her leg over the saddle of the Norton and kicked the motorcycle into life. Other than the blaster, it looked as if she wasn't taking anything with her. Ryan stood back and watched the woman leave. Nobody else saw her go. Ryan knew that he would never see her again. He also knew that he'd never forget her. 2 hours later, in the flushed light of full dawn, Sharona Carson braked the Norton and eased it to a stop. She was nearly 60 miles southwest of what remained of the once proud ville of Taos. The road had been rough, and she'd twice been lucky to dodge attacks by bands of marauding Indians. Now she hefted the bike up on its rest and stretched. Behind her, just visible as a gray smudge of smoke, fast disappearing into the clear morning sky, was Taos. By now she guessed that the traitor would have pulled out in convoy moving north. The unburied corpses of Baron Alias Carson and his sec forces would already be attracting the vultures and the ravening packs of coyotes. Ryan Cotter was gone from her life forever. Before trucking on toward the far west, the woman sat down with her back against a boulder. The rock, chilled by the night, was just beginning to warm under the sun's heat. She felt a wave of sudden nausea and clasped both hands to her stomach. Sharona had known, almost from that first moment. The nausea eased and she stood again, giving her past one final look before climbing once more onto the chromed Norton. She gave a secret smile and patted her stomach, utterly content in the certainty of the new life and who its father was. Sharona rode away from her past and into her uncertain future.
Welcome back, lover.
A blur blocked out the ceiling light. Someone stood over him, and a hand stroked his forehead. Red hair. A voice calling him lover, that he thought he recognized. He tried to say her name, Sharona, but his mouth and throat were still numb and wouldn't respond.
Don't try and talk, lover. You've been triple sick. Relax.
He blinked. The voice was a woman's, and she had red hair. Ryan felt obscurely proud of himself for working that out.
Hun, that you?
Did he just call you honey?
I don't think Ryan ever called me that. You don't think something's happened to his brain, do you?
I don't know, Christy. All I know is that Ryan ate some poison food that gave him what I think was botulism. As far as I could tell, he was off to shake hands with Blind Joe Death. His breathing and pulse were about as low as they can go without nailing the box down.
Ryan could hear the second voice, but he couldn't see who was speaking. He tried to move his head, but the effort was too great. The words came filtering through the gravel beds of his mind, but only a tiny fraction of them made any sense.
But he's going to get better now, Mildred, isn't he?
I hope so. I was kind of grasping at straws. I mixed up every combination of the drugs in the medicine chest, and one of them seems to have worked. Can't honestly say more than seems, Christy. His pulse is lifted out of the basement, and the stiffness of his muscles isn't quite as severe.
But is he going to...
I don't know. He's certainly not out of the woods yet. Let's leave it at that and keep a careful watch.
Ryan was aware only of a silence. It was so restful after the confusion of the women's voices that he was happy to relax into it. He closed his eye and fell asleep. Over the next 30 hours, his breathing became a little stronger and steadier. His heartbeat was faster, without the faltering that had made Mildred think that his race was nearly run. Christy and Mildred took turns massaging the stiffness from the muscles of his face and throat. Relaxation was slowly and painfully won. At his lowest ebb, it had been as if his sinews and flesh had been cast in bronze. Mildred had discovered a way of administering an IV drip to feed him, because he was still not capable of swallowing even the thinnest of liquids. During the days of his illness, in the stale air of the sealed redoubt, he had clearly lost muscle tone. Doc Tanner tended to hang around, offering help with cleaning the unconscious man, and generally trying to find some way of making himself useful, and rarely succeeding. JB and Jack roamed the sections of the rambling fortress that they were able to enter, looking for a way to get into the locked gateway, or a way to escape from the ruined redoubt. The day after Ryan had first showed a glimmering of recovery, The five friends held a council.
Jack reckons there could be a way out.
Where would that be? From the wretched lack of fresh air, I doubt that there is any contact.